Welcome to An Encouraged Heart. This is Cynthia, and thank you for joining me for Bible study. Currently, we are studying Jesus, listening for his voice. This study covers Mark chapter 7 through 13 and is a continuation of the previous study, Jesus experiencing his touch. And that study covers Mark chapters 1 through 6. If you are new to my podcast, I encourage you to go back and listen to not only the last Bible study, but several others that I hope will be a blessing to you. And just so you know, you can find the following Bible studies on my podcast: Living Victoriously in Difficult Times, Being a Disciple, Counting the Real Cost, Loving God and Others, The Heart of True Faith, and Jesus Experiencing His Touch. You can purchase any one of the Bible study workbooks by simply going online to Precept Ministries. The books are part of Precept's 40-minute Bible study series. I have included a link to their website in the description section of each episode. Also, you will notice as I read through the text, I will ask you to mark keywords and phrases. This method of Bible study allows us to carefully observe the text so that we can more effectively understand and interpret God's Word. And now, please open your Bibles and join me in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you have given us your Word and your Spirit. Lord, help us to have a heart that seeks after you. We thank you for our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. I will begin on page 51 for those who have the workbook, and we're going to study Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 31. And we're going to reread this text a couple of times. The first read, we're going to mark every reference to Jesus, including pronouns and synonyms, and underlying references to the phrase, the man. So for the first read, we have two markings, Jesus and the man. And it says here, as he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him. So mark him, underline man, and knelt before him and asked him, so mark him and him for Jesus, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Mark good teacher, and mark an underlined I for the man. Verse 18, and Jesus said to him, mark Jesus, mark him for the man. Why do you call me good? So underline you, and mark me, of course, for Jesus. No one is good except God alone. Verse 19, you know the commandments. Mark you for the man. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Verse 20, and he said to him, so underline he for the man, mark him for Jesus, teacher, mark teacher, referring to Jesus, I have kept all these things, underline I for the man, from my youth up, mark my for the man. Verse 21, looking at him, underline him for the man, Jesus felt a love for him and said to him, so mark Jesus and underline him and him. One thing you lack, underline you, go and sell all you possess and give to the poor, underline you, and you will have treasure in heaven and come follow me, mark me for Jesus. Verse 22, but at these words, he was saddened and he went away grieving. So mark he and he, underlining them both, for he was one who owned much property. So underline he. Moving on to verse 23. And Jesus, looking around, said to his disciples, so mark Jesus, mark his for Jesus, how hard it will be for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed at his word, so mark his for Jesus. But Jesus answered, The disciples were amazed at his word, so mark his for Jesus. But Jesus answered again and said to them, mark Jesus, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. They were even more astonished and said to him, mark him for Jesus, then who can be saved? Looking at them, Jesus said, mark Jesus, with people it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God. Verse 28, Peter began to say to him, mark him for Jesus, behold, we have left everything and followed you, mark you for Jesus. Jesus said, mark Jesus, truly I say to you, mark I for Jesus, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake, mark my for Jesus, but that he will receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. So that was our first read. And they also ask us to read the text a second time, and we're going to do additional markings. We're going to put a box around the phrase, the kingdom of God, and we're going to mark every reference to the words wealth, rich, and the phrase much property with a dollar sign. So again, we have two more markings, the kingdom of God, box that, and also mark with a dollar sign any of these words, wealth, rich, much property. Okay, beginning at verse 17, again, I'm reading verses 17 through 31 in Mark chapter 10. And he was setting out on a journey. A man ran up to him and knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother. And he said to him, teacher, I have kept all these things from my youth up. Looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him and said to him, one thing you lack, go and sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But at these words, he was saddened, and he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. So mark much property with a dollar sign. And Jesus, looking around, said to his disciples, how hard it will be for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. So mark wealthy with a dollar sign and put a box around the kingdom of God. Moving on to verse 24. The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus answered again and said to them, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. Put a box around that phrase, kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. So mark rich with a dollar sign and box the phrase kingdom of God. They were even more astonished and said to him, then who can be saved? Looking at them, Jesus said, with people it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God. Peter began to say to him, behold, we have left everything and followed you. Jesus said, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but that he will receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. Okay, we have a lot there in that passage, so we're going to look a little bit more closely at the passage. We have about 10 questions that I will share my responses with you. The first says, what do you learn about the man who approached Jesus? The man ran up to Jesus and knelt before him. And he asked Jesus, what shall he do to inherit eternal life? The man knew the commandments as we read and told Jesus that he had obeyed all the commands from his youth. Verse 22 tells us that he is a wealthy man with much property. So again, he asked Jesus what he needed to do to inherit eternal life. The second question says, what is the first thing Jesus pointed out to this man in verse 18? The man has addressed Jesus as a good teacher that we read in verse 17. Jesus asked why the man called him good. He tells the man that no one is good except for God alone. Okay. And the next question, how does this relate to our earlier discussion in week 2 of who Jesus is? Well, in week 2, Jesus asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? He went a step further and asked the disciples, who do they say he is? Peter responded that he was the Christ, and that exchange is found in Mark chapter 8, verses 27 through 29. Also, those of you who have the workbook, there was an insight box on page 25, which also describe who Jesus is. And let me read that for you again. If you have the workbook, that's on page 25. And it says here, Christos is the Greek word that parallels the Hebrew word Messiah. It means the anointed one of God. So I believe that the man perhaps thought Jesus was a teacher and not the Messiah, the one that we know was anointed, the anointed one of God. Okay, the next question, what can you suppose about the status of the man from verses 22, 23, and 25? I believe we can surmise that the man wasn't willing to give up his possessions to follow Jesus. So again, they want us to focus on verses 22, 23, 25. Just to review those, 22 says, but at these words, when the Lord told him to sell all that he had, give to the poor, and to follow him, it says in verse 22, the man was saddened, he was grieved, for he was one with who owned much property. Verse 23 says that Jesus stated how hard it will be for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. And in verse 25, it says, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. So it looks like this man held on very tightly to his achievements, his wealth, perhaps his power, and he was unwilling to give that up for eternal life. Okay. Moving on to the next question, it says here, according to verse 21, how did Jesus feel about this man and what did he want the man to do? And I did touch on that briefly. It says in verse 21 that he felt a love for the man. And it also says again that he asked the man to relinquish his possessions, give to the poor, and to follow him. So the Lord clearly knew the man's heart, that was a part of him that was interfering with him following Christ. So the Lord asked him specifically, please, he asked him to sell all that he possessed and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. So he was making that distinction between the blessings here on earth as opposed to what he really needed, which was eternal life in Christ. Okay, moving on to the next question. It says here, what kept the man from following Jesus? What does this tell you about the man's priorities? So again, his identity and value was in what he possessed and what he achieved, as we just discussed. The next question, Mark tells us in verse 22, the man walks away in light of the man's question to Jesus in verse 17. And what Jesus says in verse 22 through 25, okay? What do you assume happened to this man and why? So again, essentially they're asking, based on the man's question about how does he inherit eternal life and the Lord's response to him, he asked him to make a decision to follow him. It says here again, what do you assume happened to this man and why? Well, the man made a decision not to obey the words of Jesus and follow him. As a result, he did not enter the kingdom of God. He chose not to follow Jesus. He allowed possessions and wealth to prevent him from giving his whole heart to Jesus. So he refused to die to self, to be completely dependent, completely reliant on Jesus, which we are called to do as his disciples. Question 8. What do you learn from the text about salvation and entering the kingdom of God? Okay, and that was found in verses 25 and 26. So let me read that to you. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. They were even more astonished, meaning the disciples, and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" So entering the kingdom of God and salvation, I believe, are the same. And Jesus explains that it is impossible for us to inherit eternal life on our own. Only God can save us. And our salvation is a gift from the Lord. And that is referenced in also in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Okay. The next question says, ultimately, how does salvation come to an individual? Well, if you recall, verse 15 says in part that whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all. We have to surrender our lives to him and accept his invitation to follow him by faith like a trusting child. And again, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Question 10, it says here, verse 28 tells us, Peter began to say, he made a statement to the Lord, and we're going to read that in just a minute. And it says, what prompted Peter's words? So Peter responds to what the Lord has said. He made a couple statements. One, he said that who can be saved? And also we know later on, Peter also says that they, meaning the disciples, they've left everything to follow him. Okay. So again, Peter asks who can be saved? This was in response to what Jesus said earlier about the difficulty for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And also, Jesus added, as we saw in verse 27, it says, with people, it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God. Again, verse 27 says, with people, it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God. Okay, Peter again responds by reminding Jesus that he and the other disciples have left everything to follow him. Moving on to the next question, and what did Jesus teach the disciples? Jesus tells them that there are going to be sacrifices or costs, including persecutions, when we make the decision to follow him. However, there will be persecutions, as I mentioned, but also rewards. And it says here 100 times more now and in the age to come, which is eternal life with him. So again, yes, we do give up some things, but as we walk with the Lord, we are rewarded 100 times more. Okay. In the present time, it says here, and in the coming age. And looking at the next questions, it says here, have you been rejected by your family or suffered loss because of your decision to follow Jesus Christ? How does knowing what Jesus says help? Also, in a related question, question 13, it says, what are we assured of in verse 30? When will this take place, and how practically can knowing this help us in our personal situation? Okay. So let's start with the first part. I combine my answers to questions 12 and 13. So the first part is, have you been rejected by your family? And reading these words of Christ, how does knowing what Jesus says help? And also, what does he assure us of in verse 30? Essentially is what it's asking. Well, I think many of us can say that we have experienced loss or perhaps rejection because of our commitment to follow Jesus Christ. However, the words spoken by Jesus, yes, they are very comforting. I am reminded of what Paul said regarding suffering. He stated, and I referenced it from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 through 18, for our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we see now, rather we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Okay. And again, looking at that next question, what are we assured of in verse 30? When will this take place, and how practically can knowing this help us in our personal situation? So again, verse 30 talks about he will receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. So again, we are assured of receiving 100 times as much now in the age and in the age to come. That includes both rewards and persecutions. Okay. And the last question, note that Jesus promise includes the phrase along with persecutions. Is this evident today? If so, where and how? Why the persecution? Well, I think of Christians all around the world who have sacrificed everyday comforts or even their own lives for the sake of the gospel. So this persecution for the gospel's sake certainly continues today and will continue. I saw recently a 2019 headline in Christianity Today, and it read, Christians suffered around the world from Algeria to Syria, yet shared compelling testimonies of grace in the midst of suffering. One article that followed the headline was entitled, Algeria Forces Christians Out of the Country's Largest Churches. And in the opening line of the article, it says that the North African faithful are holding sit-ins and prayer rallies to protest a government campaign that shuts down a third of Protestant congregations. So despite the persecution, the believers there were still able and willing to testify of the Lord's grace in the midst of their struggles. I am going to conclude our study for today. I pray that today's lesson was a blessing to you. If so, I encourage you to share this Bible study with a friend. And if you would like to share your thoughts on today's verses, please leave a comment wherever you listen to An Encouraged Heart. For those of you who are new listeners, you can find An Encouraged Heart on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Spotify, and several other social media platforms. You can even ask Alexa to play An Encouraged Heart on Apple Podcast. Take care, and I look forward to you joining me next time. God bless.